Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we have a website that is filled with many things for you to get into deeper understanding of the Word of God at cbcg.org, which stands for Christian because we follow Christ, Biblical because we go by the Scriptures, we're Scripturalists, and Church because we are a church, the body of believers with the Holy Spirit, and of God because we're not of men. And we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, today's world. Because you see, the Bible talks about the end times, and we are living in the end times, and we are living at a time where there is more deception and confusion, disappointment, heartache, troubled lives, upset in everything that people do. As we've discussed many times, deceived to the point that anyone who would tell the truth would be viewed as a raving lunatic. And you know how it is in the corporate world. Don't rock the boat. Well, this is not the corporate world. That's why Church at Home. You can get your Bible. You can turn off the television. You could manage the things in your home where you can have peace and quiet, where you can pray, where you can study, where you can download and follow along at Church at Home. And then when you're done with a program or two, start studying your Bible. Let God speak to you from His Word. Because you see, the Bible, when you understand it, is God's written message to you, giving also the history of God's dealing with people in the past, the Old Testament and so forth, and the New Testament, the teachings that are there. But it would be this: what would God say to me if I could sit down and talk with God? He's provided it. It's in your Bible. Are you willing to read it and listen to God? And this is the reason why people are quitting church. They go to church on Sunday, which, by the way, is the wrong day, so they're starting off on the wrong foot already. Because God created and sanctified the Sabbath. Now, if you want a booklet on it, you can write in for it. Because there are some things that are too long to put online for you to download. So you need to write in for it. Write for the truth concerning the biblical Sabbath and what day is the Lord's day. Now to continue on in this book. Quitting Church. Quite an amazing survey. Quite an amazing book. Quite an amazing indictment on the institution of the church itself. Not only the institution, but its leaders. Not only its leaders, but its members. Not only that, but their doctrines and their teachings. Could it be that we are so deceived that we're running around like blind men and blind women searching for the truth? And like many, they go to one church, go to another church. It's called church hopping. And they get sick and tired of the same old message. Now, let me read you some quotes out of this book, Quitting Church. The problem seems to be the church itself. Every aspect of it. And you know, the church creates more atheists than anything else because of the hypocrisy. Because of the lies, because of the myths, because of the fairy tales. Amazing, isn't it? It's the church itself. That's why a lot of people have given up on the institution. Now here's a quote given in this book on page 19. People are opting out of church have been leaders. Those who have been there for a long time, the most committed. But as the years wore on, they simply could not stand to sit and watch the same old game being played anymore. The lack of God is what gets to them, even in our most spirit-filled churches. Isn't that amazing? How did this happen? What does Jesus have to say about this? We'll look at that. He has plenty to say about it. Now let's read another quote here. It's not just us in America that this is affecting. Quote, I don't think a lot of Christian leaders have any clue how many believers are simply opting out of organized religion today. Isn't that amazing? They don't know. And it's estimated that as many as 78 million Christians fall into this category of quitting church, dissatisfied with church, and rather do other things. Because the church is dysfunctional. So let me read you reasons why people are bailing out. And it's quite amazing. Then I will read you Jesus' very simple solution. All right, page 21. Large groups of Christians are opting out of church because they find it impossible to stay. And so here's a survey given. 9 challenges for American Christians. Number 1, worship is stale. The same old, same old. Nothing new, nothing relevant, nothing to help, nothing to heal, nothing to inspire. And then you have the problem with the ministers that don't know what they're doing. And you have the problems with the deacons who run the church and think they know better than the Word of God. And if a minister really wants to preach the truth, the deacons come up and they say, now listen here, Sonny, you don't preach that in this church. Now we've been here a long time and we pay your salary. Now you will preach what we tell you to preach or we'll get someone else. Now, what do you think a minister with his wife and children's going to do? Cave in, right? Yes. Worship is stale. The same old, same old. Now, let me give you a very good analogy of this that you've probably seen on television, where this man has a bicycle and he gives it to the little girl, and she didn't see that on the floor was a box. And she starts to ride it, and the man reaches down and says, oh, no, you can't go any further. You can't ride it outside of this box. That's exactly what modern Christianity is today. Many of them get people started and believing, but they go no further because they have a false conversion. And a false Christianity. And we'll explain that later in other programs. See? Same old, same old. Worship is stale. Number 2. Evangelicals are watering down their theological beliefs. Oh, just come in and believe. And they have thrown out baptism and a covenant commitment to God. Let me just be right up front and tell you something you need to understand. If you are not baptized by full water immersion after repentance, you are not converted. You're just like that little girl on that bicycle. Huh? Don't go any further. Another analogy would be this. You're going to run a race. You get up on the starting line. You're all prepared to go. You get on your mark. You get set. Bang, the gun goes off. And as soon as the gun goes off, you take one step and a big wall comes right up in front of you. And then the referee comes over and says, and will the referees like the minister and say, oh, well, you don't need to do any more. Once saved, always saved. So all you have to do is believe in the Lord. So they get a lot of people started. But as they go down through the years, they get bored and turn off because it's the same old thing, you see. And they water down the beliefs. Jesus said, enter in at the narrow gate, for straight, that is difficult, is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many go in that gate. That's the majority of people. That's all of those who are churched because they're not taught the truth. Number three, evangelical congregations are still by and large split into all white, all black, all Hispanic groups that shouldn't be. Amazing, isn't it? That's the way it is. Number four, many Christians, especially younger ones, don't take the Bible seriously. Oh, no. We, as we'll cover here in a program, will tell God what to do. A lot have good intentions. When it comes down to temptations concerning sex, well, they've heard in their schools that it's all right to commit fornication. It's all right to have sex at any age. And the pedophilia people say, oh, the younger, the better, as they wring their hands in satisfaction, hoping for new flesh for their homosexual activities. Number five, Christianity in America has essentially no built-in costs. Just believe, live in the world, have no commandments to keep. Now, let's see what Jesus had to say about some of this. We'll get to the other ones here in just a minute. But let's come to Luke 14. New Testament, Luke 14. There is a cost, and there is a covenant pledge and commitment that you must make between you and God. And that comes through repentance and baptism. Everyone heard, well, Christ died for my sins. Yes, he did. Now, what is the cost to you? Well, let's come to Luke 14, and we will see. Because, you see, we are to love God with all our heart, all our minds, all our soul, all our being, and to have that kind of dedication to God because he loves you. And he wants to give you eternal life his way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one is going to come any other way. And Jesus said, no one is going to come to the Father except through me. So all of you in other religions, you better stop and think. It's not through Allah, it's not through Buddha, it's not through Mary, it's not through the Pope, it's not through sitting in the church, it's through Jesus Christ and him alone. And there is a cost. There is a cost. Luke 14. Notice what Jesus said, there were multitudes following him. Oh, he fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000, he fed the great groups, he healed thousands and thousands and thousands and cast out demons. Oh, and a lot of people wanted to follow Jesus and make him king so he could give them bread like manna because they saw the loaves. Every time the disciples broke it off, the loaf grew. Every time they broke off a piece of fish, it was still there. Hey, this is an amazing thing. Let's make him king so he'll do it for us. So the multitudes were following him. Here, verse 25. And great multitudes were going with him, and he turned and said to them, bless you, all of you wonderful people, just follow me. Oh, how wonderful. We have so many converts out here today. Come and give your heart to the Lord. Really? That's not what my Bible reads. So he turned to them and said, verse 26, now I want you to think about that. Here is the cost. You are to love God more than any person, anything, any part of this physical life. So he said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brothers and sisters, and in addition, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And cannot, in the Greek, is the strongest terminology of the impossibility of that. Now, do they teach that in the churches? No, there's no cost. Just simply believe, give your heart to the Lord. And not even be baptized. What a fraud. What a deceit. What a lie. Oh, but Fred Kolder, you don't know what the Bible says. Yes, I do. I translated the whole Bible. I know what it says. And my goal is to teach you the truth. And for you to begin to examine your life before God. And for you to begin examining the church's teachings that you go to. And to begin examining why you quit church and are at home. And why you need church at home to begin to really establish a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Instead of being churched. You need to be converted. All right, let's go on. He doesn't say it's going to be easy. Verse 27, and whoever does not carry his cross and come after me cannot, the strongest sense of impossibility, be my disciple. Do you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do you really? Has it been made simple for you? Yes, we have the simplicity of Christ to understand it, but not in the way that men interpret it, in the way that God interprets it. Now notice, then he says, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has sufficient for its completion, unless perhaps after he has laid its foundation, he's not able to finish, and all who see it begin to mock him. Have you started building a Christian life? Do you have what it takes to finish it? Well, the churches out there have no clue because they're filled with lies and hypocrisy. Oh, they have a nice veneer of niceness and lovey-dovey and sweet things and nice songs. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, are they converted? Let's see what else Jesus said. Let's see how God divides the line. Let's see what Jesus expects everyone to do. Now, as we're going to John 14, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus was God before he became a human being? Yes. Do you understand that he was the Lord God of the Old Testament? Yes. Do you understand that he was the one who came to the top of Mount Sinai and gave the children of Israel the Ten Commandments? Yes. Now, with that in mind, I want to ask you a very serious question then. Why do most ministers say you don't have to keep the laws in the Old Testament? Let's see what Jesus said. In the light of the fact that he was God manifested in the flesh, and he is law giver. And in light of the fact that Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. Now let's read John 14, beginning in verse 15. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. A literal translation. Do you love Jesus? Do you love God the Father with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your being? Jesus said, if you love him, you would keep his commandments. Do you keep his commandments? Really? Or do you lie to yourself and enjoy your little secret sins, which before God are not secret? He knows every single one. Let's go on. Let's see what he says. Verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that it may be with you throughout the age," that is, as long as your life, "even the Spirit of the truth, which the world cannot receive, because it perceives it not, nor knows it, but you know it, because it dwells with you and shall be within you." Key. If you have the Spirit of God, you will believe and desire the truth and obey it. Even in the most Spirit-filled churches in the world, it's boring. That's why church at home. So you can have the start of a personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's where true Christianity really is. It's not being churched in a building. It's not with your name on a roll. It is your personal relationship with God, and it starts with keeping the commandments. Then God will send the Spirit after you've been baptized, received laying on of hands, because God only gives the Spirit to those who obey him. Do you obey God? Do you keep his commandments? Now let's go on. Verse 21, test yourself. Because if you believe in Jesus, if you believe that he is your Savior, if you believe that he's God manifested in the flesh, if you believe that he came from God the Father, test yourself. Prove yourself. Are you in the faith or not? Verse 21, "The one who has my commandments and is keeping them," present tense participle, "that is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Do you want God manifested to you? And Judas, not Iscariot, said, "Lord, how are you going to do that?" You do it by keeping his commandments and drawing close to God. And the Bible will open up, and the life and the mission of Jesus Christ and his teachings and the gospel will begin to open up so you can understand. He's not going to come in visible form. He is going to come through the study of his word combined with the Spirit of truth. And that will cause you to walk in the truth. Notice, again he said, how he's going to manifest himself. Verse 23, "Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word." That's the whole message of Christ. That's anyone, no distinction between Jew and Gentile. So all the evangelicals out there say, well, the Gospels were only for the Jews. Forget it. Big lie. You've been deceived. "And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." Now notice, if you think that I'm just spouting off so many words, I'm not. I'm reading the scriptures. I'm reading the very words of Christ. Now here's another test. Test yourself. Are you among those opting out of church? Have you quit church? Well, that's why church at home. Listen here. Verse 24, "The one who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Can you pass that test? That's what Jesus says is the test. Well, I gave my heart to the Lord. Were you baptized? Did you have laying on of hands for receiving the Holy Spirit? Do you walk in the way of the Lord and keep his commandments? Well, I go to church every Sunday. Wrong day. Wrong understanding. Just like it said, if someone really preaches the truth, it will seem preposterous. And the speaker, a raving lunatic. Really? Well, you need to understand. You need to learn of God. Now, you need to download some of the articles that we have online. How did Jesus fulfill the law and the prophets? What do you mean born again? What do you mean born of God? And you need to get this book, Occult Holidays, God's Holy Days, which, so that you can understand how far off the whole Christian world is, and it's nothing more than baptized paganism with lies and deceit and wretchedness. You want to come out of that? Then study your Bible. Go through the things that we're bringing you on Church at Home and get your life right before God by repenting and establishing a relationship with Him. And don't forget our other website, cbcg.org, where we have hundreds of in-depth sermons covering very, very many topics and subjects. As a matter of fact, if you're having a hard time for getting prayers answered, we have 21 sermons on the keys to answered prayer. If you want to know about the love of God, we've got a whole series of 30 or more sermons on the love of God in the Bible. It's all right there for you. So thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Calder, until next time, saying, so long, everyone. We'll be right back.